live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Yeah, all right, good 5 o'clock hour on the way. Fun. I'm looking forward to watching some college basketball tonight. I don't know if you know this, Alex. Alex White's with us. College basketball actually is my favorite sport. What? Yeah. I love it.
I'm not that surprised at all.
I've always liked it. I don't dislike the NBA. I'm starting to like college football more than the NFL. There is the kind of the tribalism with pro sports, but it can't match up with what happens in college because the passion is so much higher. I don't mean the effort on the floor. It's the fans, the rivalries.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once you're really into March Madness, then you got to just start branching out and start watching college basketball earlier and earlier. And then you're just ready for that tournament. Those first 4 days.
It's our best event in Vegas.
Yes.
Like, if you love sports and you like betting, even if you only have to wet your beak a little bit, For me, and we're on the air most of the times on the Thursday and Friday, but if I have that day off a Thursday or Friday to sit and watch sports basically from like 8:45 in the morning until after 10 at night and have action on every game or lots of the games, it's wild. And then if you sit in a sports book, especially one that's well attended, it is insanity because of the back and forth and last second nature of basketball.
Well, and there's so many bets out there that you don't even realize until you are in the environment. But at different sports books, there's the first team to 10 or 15 or 20 points. And so many people love that bet. And you just know when there's like an underdog that gets to 15 first and the whole place goes crazy. And you know that so many people were on that bet because it was a good, juicy price. So they don't take them to win the game. They just need them to come out hot and hit that mark first.
Is that something you play?
Honestly, Jeff Parles, one of the co-hosts at Sports by the Book with me at the South Point, he told me about it last year. So that was my initial.
How much do you like bracketology? Because you basically can bet bracketology numbers. I was looking up some numbers yesterday that over-under on Big Ten teams is 9.5. Over-under on SEC teams is 11.5. I mean, the data's kind of there.
Yeah.
But we also have 4 and 5 games left in the season plus the tournaments. So there's enough bubble teams. That looks like a stay away for you.
No, I'm actually pretty intrigued, but I'm imagining you can't get great prices now, right? This is something that...
Well, it's been narrowed down, you're right.
I probably would have had to bet and try and like really dive in a month ago.
And there's also will or won't make the tournament, which, again, it's getting whittled down. I saw in the Mountain West Conference, I'm going to do the no's. San Diego State to make the tournament, the no was around minus 230. Boise State, I'm getting this wrong. Well, anyway, Boise State was a dog to make the tournament. So right now San Diego State is expected to be in. Boise is expected to be out, and they were actually pretty far out, but that was before their game the other night when New Mexico came in, so I'm sure it shrunk down because that was a massive win for New Mexico.
Yeah, that was a good win for them. I mean, I expected New Mexico to even cover, and they lost.
Well, they were a little beat up, and we had Richard Pitino on yesterday, and they didn't have Mustafa Amzil in that game. Let's talk a little more Mountain West Conference basketball, as someone who really is involved in it, and is looking at the bids and trying to win a conference championship and the tournament. The tournament is here in Vegas, themw.com/2025 to get your tickets over at Thomas and Mack. And Jared Calhoun is up on Cofield & Company here in Vegas with Alex White, Steve Cofield. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, I got to say out of the gates, I don't know if you remember the interview, but we talked to you at the Final Four. Our Vegas station was out there. And I got to tell you, I don't want to apologize, but when you came over to our set, you were, again, no insult, relatively unknown to us because you were from out of the region. And then we didn't really talk basketball much because I was looking at what your roster had, and you had some guys in the transfer portal. I'm like, I don't even know what to ask this guy about his team yet. What do you think of what's happened with your team, with the group you assembled, with the results since the Final Four, you know, shortly after you got named coach? I mean, this has been an amazing run.
Yeah, you know, it's been a lot of work. Obviously, assembling a team is not easy for any coach. I feel very fortunate we're able to retain five players. You know, really three kids that played heavy minutes, one guy that came off the bench and a walk-on. Those five have been kind of the catalysts. And then our new guys have been unbelievable. We've, you know, had a team that's really bought into we over me and strength in numbers. And, you know, there's an expectation here at Utah State to play in the NCAA tournament, to compete for championships in the Mountain West. And it's been a lot of fun. You know, the Spectrum has great magic. We've got a great home court venue. But we've got four really, really difficult games coming up and just trying to finish the regular season out on a really strong note.
Yeah, I remember at the time, I think that Foslev was not for sure coming back to you guys. What was that whole conversation like to make sure he came back? And he's had a very good sophomore year.
Yeah, I think a lot of head coaches make the mistake when they go to a new place of, you know, trying to get a lot of new guys, right? I think the most important guys are the guys in your program. You know, Mason Foslev is from Cache Valley right here where Utah State is. Ian Martinez is another guy that decided to come back. Isaac Johnson, Carson Templin, and Jackson Smith. You got to really hear the guys out. You got to build a very, very quick relationship with them, sell your vision, and see how you can help them, right? I mean, that's why you get into coaching, is to help people and help them improve their game, but not only just, you know, sports, but off the court as well. And we were able to do that, and it's been a great year.
What do you think drives Foslev? You know, I'm around Kevin Kruger a lot because I'm on the broadcast team for the Runner Rebels, and you know, he said, listen, Foslev was a pretty, you know, good-level recruit in the region. Like, a lot of schools knew about him, but a lot of schools also shied away from him, and he kind of plays with a chip on his shoulder. Do you see that with Foslev?
Yeah, I would agree with Kev. I mean, I think, you know, I've been pretty fortunate to be around a lot of really good teams. And, you know, we had a guy named Joe Mazzulla, now the head coach of the Boston Celtics, that was on our Final Four team. And he and Joe have very similar qualities. They're just great competitors. No matter what they're doing, whether they're, you know, doing a drill or, you know, in a game, practice, whatever the case may be, they're going to try to will their team to the win. And that's what he is. He's kind of our Tim Tebow of our team, our leader. He's kind of our engine. And he knows what winning looks like. When he puts the uniform on, it really means something to him playing for his hometown team. And he's been tremendous to coach.
Can I build on your point about being around Mazzulla? I've never had a chance to cover him. I see him with the media. I see him in press conferences. And oftentimes I'm like, what did he just say? Like, it's so offbeat. When he was a player, was he an interesting guy in terms of motivation? And why do you think he's turned into a really good coach?
Well, I just actually spoke to him today for about 25 minutes. So, you know, after his playing days, he was on my staff for a number of years, and then I was the best man in his wedding. So okay. It's just kind of who he is. You know, I think Joe's a very, very special type of coach. I think he can relate to players. I think X and O-wise, he's tremendous, but he's going to do it his way. I think he has great belief in himself and his system. And, you know, I think he's gotten really good with the media. You know, I think he kind of is who he is. And I think a lot of coaches nowadays struggle to do that. And I think he's kind of mastered that.
Coach, what would you say have been some of your biggest challenges or adjustments moving from Youngstown State now to Utah State?
Yeah, good question. You know, obviously it's a different region. We really wanted to attack high school recruiting. So recruiting the state of Utah, you know, first and foremost, trying to build those relationships with high school coaches, getting to know people, you know, the donor base, our fans has been awesome. And then really recruiting the West Coast. You know, we've got kids committed from California, from Phoenix, you know, just really building the relationships with the people on the West Coast. But I think nowadays, you don't really have to be in your region to recruit. You know, I think because of the transfer portal, NIL, You know, if you can coach basketball, I think you can coach basketball anyways and anywhere. I don't think you have to be necessarily tied to a region. I think that's kind of really went out the window.
Well, the other cool thing is, at a lot of schools with a coaching change, like you might have to go out and, I don't know, you know, do old school, like get pizza for the kids, like let's get them fired up again about the new coach and don't worry about the players who left. But the kids in Logan are just absolute maniacs. I mean, I think that that it's actually one of the rare places, because I don't want to sit here and go, kids these days, but like a lot of places the kids don't show up for games. Like, what did you discover early on about these kids and why they love basketball so much?
Yeah, that's been kind of neat, to be honest with you. I think that's what makes the job so attractive. You know, we had an event last night. We're raising money for the students with the student section, the herd, so they can pay for hotel rooms, so they can pay for the tickets, pay for their travel. You know, it's just a unique atmosphere, right? I think, you know, as freshmen come in, they really jump on board and become members of the herd. And it's not just basketball. If you go to our soccer games, our women's soccer is, you know, top 20 in the country. Our volleyball has won two or three championships in the last 5 years. They pack it. Football, they pack it. I think it's just really, you know, the student experience here in Logan and at Utah State, they take great pride in it. And I've been in other programs where you just don't see that. You know, we had to get out and really sell our program and on game days pass out flyers and, you know, pass out a million things to get them there. It's really student-driven. And there's really a system to it. I mean, they meet every week. I've attended four or five of their meetings this year. We're all on the same page in constant communication about what theme we're having for each game. And I think that's how you build that home court advantage. As a head coach, you have to be involved in some of this stuff.
Any of the kids have the guts to come up to you and they're like, yeah, you know what, Ian Martinez, I think you need to play a couple more minutes, coach. Let's go. Come on.
Well, they know their stuff. I mean, certainly, you know, I got off social media about 2 months ago. I think it's just, you know, there's just so many opinions nowadays. I didn't want to have any distractions. But, yeah, I've gotten direct messages. We were struggling for a while making free throws. They asked if we needed to be, you know, actually make noise during the free throw. So, yeah, they study it. It's one of the most knowledgeable student sections I've ever seen.
TheMW.com/2025 for Mountain West Conference tournament tickets, March 9th to the 15th. There are special packages, including discounts on multiple sessions if you buy them. The women's tournament, you can buy an all-session pass for $75. So I think your story about fundraising, that might have to do with some travel coming up down here. Do we expect a good number of the herd to show up? Because this is one of the things, Coach, and I'm sure you've watched it, but the fan bases, when the schools that have good fan bases, they will travel. And that place gets really loud between you guys. San Diego State brings a crowd. New Mexico could bring like 7,000 people to the Thomas and Mack. It is a very loud environment. A lot of it's because of the kids who travel.
Yeah, you know, I've watched the Mountain West tournament for years. I think first and foremost, you know, this league is very competitive. There's 7 or 8 teams, I think, this year that can win it. You know, I think it's really what makes college sports really special is a conference tournament. So it's a chance for fans to go root for their team. I think Las Vegas is just the perfect location for this tournament and makes sense for so many teams. You know, it's kind of sad that, you know, we only have one more year of it. It's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. But while we have it, we got to enjoy it. And I'm looking forward for the first time to participate in it and, you know, watch multiple games. If we're not playing, I want to get in there and experience it, because you only get to do this for so many years. And, you know, I think our fan base and the herd will travel for sure, and looking forward to this.
Coach, you talked about taking a break from social media. Do you ever highly recommend or require your guys to take a break from social media at certain times during the season?
Yeah, great question. You know, our kids are not too consumed with it. I've got a really, really good group. I'd say about 60% of our group does not use social media, so they're not really distracted throughout the year. And I think that's a good thing, because I think nowadays kids are, you know, obviously they're getting paid and they're being scrutinized at a much higher level, and it can become a distraction and you're not present. So since I've been off of it, I don't really know what's going on in the world. I know about my team, and you know, my three kids and my wife, and that's about it.
You know, USA and Canada played in hockey last night, right?
I saw that at my radio show. Yeah, I didn't even really know what that was. But, yeah, that was a big deal. I saw.
Yeah. I ran into a fellow media member today who was like, what? Who won? Like, had no idea. I'm like, oh, my God. I thought this was all-encompassing. But you're right. When you tune out and you're just kind of focused on what you're doing, stuff does kind of slide by the side. All right. So I saw for the New Mexico game, we're talking to Jared Calhoun. Kids were camping out to get the tickets outside of the Spectrum. What is going on for San Diego State? Because this is, these guys have been the king of the conference. What is the energy for this game?
Yeah, they'll camp out again tonight. We have a gymnastics meet, so everybody will go to the gymnastics meet, and there'll probably be 7 to 10 tents. Kids will definitely sleep outside tonight. We have a striping. We're going to stripe the Spectrum, so that's the theme. And it'll be standing room only, and it's sold out.
Oh, mama. It's going to be 12 degrees as a – no, that's – sorry. I got the Celsius. All right. Overnight low looks like it'll be somewhat manageable. Gets cold there.
Oh, it'll be cold. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right. Some of the other top teams. Tell me why San Diego State's a tough matchup.
Well, I think first and foremost, coaching. I think they got one of the best coaches in the country. Great program. Defense, you know, if you look at the best defensive teams over the last 5 years, San Diego State comes to mind, right? 3 years ago, they played for a national championship. So there's an expectation there. There's coaching. There's a toughness and a tenacity about their program that makes them one of the elite teams in the country.
What did you guys do especially well in matchup number one?
We just made one more shot than them. You know, it was a back-and-forth battle. It wasn't anything, out of the ordinary. It was just a great college basketball game. You know, we made a three-pointer with 8 seconds to put us up, and we got one stop to end the game. So we're anticipating a very, very tough matchup with these guys and got a ton of respect for them. They're guarding at an extremely high level. They've got two kids that are probably NBA prospect, and they're really, really good. You know, they got a great team.
Yeah, UNLV played down there. They got the win, and Miles Byrd didn't have a great game, but I swear every time he got the ball, I was like, is this kid going to get a shot off from 27 feet here and make it? He's really dangerous.
Yep, he can fill it up, and they're one of the best shot blocking teams in the country, so it's hard to score.
I think the middle of the conference in the Mountain West Conference tournament can make some noise. You don't want them to. You guys want to be able to move on to the semis and the finals. In particular, why was UNLV able to be more than competitive in game one, and they had the good comeback? What was tough about the Rebels?
You know, I think with their four-guard lineup, it makes it a little bit difficult. You know, they've got four guards that can pass, catch, shoot, make good decisions. Thomas is one of the best point guards in this conference. So I thought they did a good job of really spreading us out. You know, when we played at UNLV, we had a couple kids on an IV. The flu was kind of going through our team. So we were not really that healthy in that game. But I thought they did a great job of defending us. They kept us out of transition, and, you know, they did a really good job of trying to spread us out with those four guards.
Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck in the stretch coming up, because you're right, it's a tough one, and then we'll see you here in Vegas in a few weeks.
You got it, guys. Thanks for covering the Mountain West, and appreciate you having me.
There he is. Jared Calhoun has done an excellent job. Different than Danny Sprinkle, but Utah State is sort of a beacon of hope for Mountain West schools, because they've had turnover, and their culture and success continued through the turnover. Calhoun's a really good coach, and he's a guy I admire, because I want this conference to not build in the image. I guess it's not going to matter when they split, but building in the image of San Diego State and Boise State has always kind of irked me, in that very few programs have tried to go, you know what, we respect your defense, we're going to defend at a high level, but we are going to score. We're going to make you defend. We're not going to play freaking brawl ball. And Utah State's not the biggest team. But let me tell you, if you don't defend them, they're going to hang 85. They're going to hang 93. I mean, the other night, what, they had 105 against San Jose State? I mean, they are really dangerous. He does not have a leash on the players. They fire threes. What they run is really good. Their cuts are awesome. They cut hard, which I know that sounds stupid. Like everyone, not everyone cuts hard. So, really good job by Utah State. And, yeah, I don't know why I said, sorry, Coach, about the interview you don't remember back at the Final Four. But I remember sitting down with him, and I was like, okay, I don't know a lot about this guy, and he's got no players. I'm like, who the hell, what players am I going to break down? So we talked a lot about the program and the tradition and the culture. And then, like, within 3 weeks, I saw the team he put together, and I was like, oh, crap. He kept Martinez. He kept Falslev. He's gotten guys from all these different spots who fill good roles and who were, like, good 7 to 12 point per game dudes at a lower level. They have a big Gattaretse who he just hasn't clicked this year, but he was from Stetson, where he came in against UNLV, and I think he had, like, 18 and 10 a couple years ago. And when I looked at the roster, I'm like, okay, they're going to be really good.
Well, that's exactly why you said it, because you were just trying to set it up of how far he has come and what you were.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I was being like a little self-deprecating, but.
No, it's not like you were like, hey, you have Cooper Flagg. You guys should have a pretty good year, yeah, right? You're saying you didn't know what they were doing at that point.
I was like, I didn't think anyone was coming back, but retention when a new coach comes in is so massive. Same thing with football. We talked about it yesterday with Brad Powers, one of our gambling insiders. And I know you'll have Brad on every once in a while with South Point Studios. Alex White, Cofield, and Mateo down here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Brad had a great list of retention, then use of the transfer portal. And he pointed out that of the 12 teams that made the playoff last year, the majority of them have taken in less than 8 total transfers.
Wow.
Clemson finally. Two of the programs, there was 3 actually. Arizona State took 12, but that's kind of still a building program. They exceeded expectations last year. Indiana took 20 because he had a lot of one and done help now and guys from James Madison who were
right.
That. And then SMU took 14, but like the traditional powers. And I think Boise just got a couple guys today, so they might be at like 8 or 9. The traditional powers for the most part were like 6 or 7 players.
Very interesting.
Well, there's a misnomer out there. I was having a conversation with someone who is in college sports, not necessarily football, and they were like, man, the dominant schools with all this money, they're going to kill it because their threes are going to be awesome. And I was like, I chose not to argue at that point. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the opposite is that the big boys don't have the amount of twos and threes, and I'm talking about a depth chart.
Right, exactly.
You know, ones, twos, and threes. So their depth isn't as good as it used to be. They certainly don't have the depth of quarterback because almost no good quarterback is going to stick it out for more than 2 years not playing. But I thought that was really interesting that the way they looked at it, well, one, the schools that only had needed 6 or 7 guys retained well because continuity is what this is all about. And then there was a list of 10 schools that had 50-plus. And they're actually Brad, I think, was missing one. One of them was Reno, Nevada. Another one was UNLV. UNLV has taken in 51 new players.
Wow.
But they also took in 45 new players or more the last 2 years. Can they do it 3 years in a row and win?
Well, we did see the schedule. It is pretty favorable. So I hope so. And they're building a culture like we're talking about.
And they're better supported money-wise than they've ever been. And there's other monies that are needed for support around the program. So I want to get back to the UNLV schedule in a couple minutes here. But we got to go back to the ratings and the result and the heat around USA-Canada hockey because it was an awesome show. The lead-in was great. We'll see what the come-out of the game is going to be around the league.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
Fox up to Miller, picked off by Marner. He comes back with speed. It's Marner in on goal. They score! Marner to Sam Bennett. short side shelf, and we're tied at two.
And I'm proud to be in Canada, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'm
right,
glad
isn't it?
To stand up next to you.
Yeah, but I'm in the USA. So say USA. Please leave. Get it right this time. God bless the USA.
God bless you, Canada.
Hey, he did an alternate version. He cashed out. Did it years ago. I mean, what else are we going to play, right? Canada beat us. I think I'm less mad about USA losing to a dominant Canadian team. I'm really mad about Lee Greenwood. Please. Well, I'm not going to tell Griffin to not play the song ever again because he did it, so he made the money off it. There was some heat going into that game last night. I want to get to USA-Canada in 5 minutes. Some college basketball updates. Villanova all over Marquette, 66-45. So this is good for Villanova, who've had a very mediocre season. I don't want to go as far as saying this because they actually won a national championship under another coach, but sometimes programs are one-coach programs. Jay Wright was awesome.
Yeah.
I think Villanova will be good again at some point. I don't know if it's going to be with his coach. By the way, you know who's a big fan of Raleigh Massimino and his ways? Jared Calhoun. Just saying. Am I rooting for Utah State to lose its coach again? I guess it doesn't matter much anymore. They're not in the conference with the Vegas market, but that'll be good next, or a couple weeks from now. May 9th, check that. March 9th to the 15th, Utah State and all these good teams around the Mountain West Conference. In the Mountain West Conference tournament, March 9th to the 15th. We just had Calhoun on. You get your tickets at themw.com/2025. I like interviews like that where we just happen to stumble upon. Like, I do research for stuff, but like I don't know that I would have looked up his bio and been like, oh, he mentioned Joe Mazzulla. That's right. He was the best man in his wedding. I had no idea.
Right.
So I was glad he popped that. That was good. He's a good interview. He's a chatty guy. You can tell he's a basketball lifer, and he's not old.
And I'm not surprised at all that the students of Logan go to every sporting event. And
are we gonna do this?
And he goes to his meetings, and he was talking about the student section. Oh, yeah. And they're all invested, so
okay. I thought you were gonna do our typical Logan low blows. I'll tell you what, I talk about traveling there, it's not my cup of tea. The gap at the bottom of the current Mountain West for best travel spots, and this is for fans too. I mean, if you're a fan who wants to go and have lots of food options, some places you can get a couple of pops, that's kind of how I grade it.
Right,
the arena there is awesome, to be especially to be the enemy fan there. I know talking to Julian Rishwain's dad, who goes to a lot of the road games for UNLV, like he had a really good time there. They fell short, but they made a big comeback. But my measures are food and drink, not skiing.
Right.
I got to tell you, Wyoming, Laramie has always been at the bottom with Logan. Laramie took a big step up. Big step up. We had a good time.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So it was the food and the
Again, Laramie doesn't have a lot of options, and both places roll up the sidewalks pretty early. But we found a local. It wasn't like we were out on the streets like, hey, someone, help us. Yeah, we found a local. They were like, oh, yeah, there's actually a cool pool hall. We like billiards, so we had a good time there. And then they actually have opened a late-night restaurant there, a Mexican joint, which I got to talk about this next week. It was a really good Mexican place. Yes, in Laramie, Wyoming. There was a story I didn't realize. Boy, if I do this, it's going to take the rest of the show. If you look up El Chapo and Wyoming Mexican restaurants, there's a story there. And I heard about it because we went to a Mexican place there. But, yeah, El Chapo was apparently money laundering, was laundering a lot of his money in Wyoming at Mexican restaurants. I was like, what? Of all places, Wyoming? Who knows what was going on? Who knows, right? I mean, I'm not going to make an allegation, but the program had a great player like Graham Ike. They also had Brandon Wenzel. They had Noah Reynolds. Wenzel and Reynolds wound up at TCU. Ike is part of a potential Final Four team at Gonzaga. Maybe the money ran out for the program? I don't know that, but I kind of wish that was the case, that El Chapo was the NIL guy behind the Cowboys. Is it possible?
Wait, is it tied with Wyoming, Colorado?
Yes.
And? Okay.
It was Colorado, too.
Yeah.
It was all along. I think the I-25 is their road. There were a bunch of Mexican places on the I-25, and then the feds were like, yeah, El Chapo's got some connections here. He's taking his money here and trying to kind of hide it. And I was like, what is happening? It's a good idea, right? Like, everyone, the rest of the country is like, man, that you know, in Texas or in Arizona, they're like, that El Chapo, man, he's, man, I can't figure out where he's laundering his money. Right. Must be Wyoming. Who would ever, it's brilliant. He a deadly criminal, but, you know, they're usually not stupid. That's why they have a lot of money.
This could be another show like Ozark, just on this.
I mean, is Ozark that fake, really? You clearly were a fan?
Yeah.
Okay. You should watch. You ever seen Banshee?
No.
Try Banshee. It's very, you'll laugh a lot.
Okay.
The scenarios are, and it is like Ozark in that there's like all these strange forces in this oddball place battling each other. It's supposed to be in like rural Pennsylvania. Banshee. Try it out. Just give it two episodes. Next week when you're on, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
You got some time.
I wonder if I did start that.
And it was so stupid, you're like, I can't take this.
It's tough, right? The first couple? You got to get past the first two.
Oh, I think there might be. Okay. Every episode, there's some kind of freaking fight. So if I correct, episode one has to have fights like right out of the gates. I think you'll like it.
Okay.
Give it a try. Update. So, okay. So, first of all, college basketball. I was talking about Calhoun, Wyoming, El Chapo. Michigan and Michigan State's a big game tonight. You can watch it here at the Golden Circle. This Michigan story is incredible. And again, it's, you know, it shows like the Calhoun story at Utah State. And you're like, okay, how the hell are they doing this? Michigan has the goods, has the money, but like Dusty May had to rebuild a roster, and he's clearly a great coach from his days at FAU. He brought at least one guy from there, the big guy, and I thought they'd be good. Like, I thought it was a good hire. I wasn't like, oh, they're going to be at the top of the Big Ten. So this is a big one against Michigan State at home. Did you bet it?
I did not bet this one. I was looking at the points though with Michigan State, but
all right,
it is a big one.
Those
four at the top though have just kind of been rotating. Purdue though lost three in a row, so they either got to figure some things out or.
Next week we'll have to look at the Big Ten odds and then give out some picks on who we think can make a run in the tournament, who's built for the tournament.
Well, you told me a team 2 weeks ago that now isn't so sneaky that you probably should have given out then.
That was a good snitch. But all it was is I happened to watch them. And, well, I also noticed the numbers. And I was like, okay, Maryland is in seventh place in the Big Ten, and their RPI is 16. So, one, a much better seed than you'd expect. And then watching them, they have everything. They're big at guard. They hit threes, and they're big inside. And then who they just smashed? USC by 15. And they're two bigs, Reese and Queen, combined for 32 points and 27 rebounds. I'm not the biggest fan of double big. I like one big and then four out and the kind of the stretch element at the power forward position. These are two true bigs. Can that win a national championship? We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know if Maryland's going to win a national championship, but college basketball still, in many ways, a lot of programs still hold true to the double big.
I think last year was actually kind of completely away from that, right? It was just the big. down the stretch there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically Purdue was one big and four outs.
And UConn, too, no?
And UConn, they weren't as big last year as the previous year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they had great guard play, so.
Yeah.
We'll see if it wins out.
Yeah.
Some of the top teams this year, like, Duke is not only big at center because Malwatch is 7'2 and, like, 260. They're kind of big all over the floor. And that's another part of when you talk about size in college basketball, when the guards are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", like, you may not appreciate it, but if you're on the floor and you're watching a game, you're like, holy crap, there is nowhere to shoot the ball. There's nowhere to pass the ball. You take a 3 as a 6'1 guy, and their 1, 2, and 3 are all 6'4 to 6'6". The closeout, by the you get set with the shot, you rise up. By the time you're getting it out of your hands, there are a lot of times, like, you don't see the rim at the end. So yeah, it's not just, hey, you know, they're a power forward, 6'9". Like, Michigan basically has 2 7-footers.
Right.
And right now they're out to a 5-point lead, so 28-23. All right. USA-Canada hockey on the way back. We'll do it in the grab bag. Come on down here. A lot of good sports to watch. We got NBA watching the Knicks get ripped by the Cavs tonight. Lakers with more big games on the way. We'll see if Luka is back. LeBron couldn't hit the game winner twice the other night. But hot spot here. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Free parking with a self-parking in the back of the property. It's Treasure Island on a Friday.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Villanova trying to close out. Marquette about 5 minutes left, up 15, 71 to 56 right now. Villanova, if I'm correct, not really in hailing distance right now of the tournament. Rocky start. They're 15 and 12. I think this moves them to 8 and 6 in the conference. But actually, the Big East is kind of having a down year. I saw someone make the comment the other day that the Lakers were lucky to escape Dan Hurley and his foolishness, and looky here, two-time national champion, might not make the tournament now. I don't think that's the case.
No.
They're going to get a little extra level of respect, even though they use blind resumes, which I don't buy that for a second. They'll get in.
Yes, and they're young. They don't play great defense. They make mistakes, team right now.
The jump from not having the year they were supposed to have to out of the tournament is a little dramatic. They're an 8 seed. According to Bracket Matrix. Are you going to give them an excuse, huh? They're young? Okay.
I mean, I would be careful even. He is a good coach. I mean, they could.
Well, as an 8 seed, that's. No, I'm saying that the tournament committee will be salivating if they can put them as an 8 seed.
Yeah.
Have a juicy 8-9 matchup, and then a 1's got to freaking get through UConn.
Yeah.
The two-time defending national champ. Oh, man, that would be tough. Because it'll probably be an SEC team, and I don't want to root for any SEC team. I kind of like Florida. Todd Golden and Carlin Hartmer there. But, I'm not rooting for UConn under any circumstances. Not going to happen.
Ooh, so if it was Alabama and UConn, you'd really be torn. You don't want to root for either of them?
Alabama might be the one SEC team that I like because Nate Oates is not that I hate Southerners, not completely, but Nate Oates is a Northerner. And a former math teacher.
I can see that, but he dresses nice.
He's got the good jackets.
Yeah.
And I especially like the basketball they play.
God, yes, love that, huh?
Well, no, I like offense.
Yeah.
No, and I totally respect defense, but you can play good D and be up-tempo attacking offense. Too many tangents to go on. I heard... We'll have to get him on. I heard John Crispin, who's a fellow Jersey guy like myself, so we're buddies. We're not. But he played at Penn State and UCLA. His brother was the better of the two brothers. Joe was really good at Penn State. I don't know why you need to know that. But he was on a radio show the other day, and he was like blowing up in a positive way the way that Auburn and Alabama play basketball. He's like, they play, they're fun, they attack. They're not playing to, like, a certain standard. Like, we have to play a certain way. And I also love, and I brought this up earlier in the week, I know people look at analytics and look at math and they're like, stupid, like, doesn't represent real people. This is a very basic number, but they had a graphic in the Alabama-Auburn game last Saturday. Alabama's shot chart, it was like 38% at the rim, 36% in the lane. So what's that? So that's 74. Then it was like 23% of the shots are taken from three, mid-range, 3%. So they're probably, like, in practice, they anyone takes a freaking 9 to 15 footer, they're probably like, but that is the way you're supposed to play. And, like, believe me, I grew up around basketball, and when I played at a very limited level, like, I loved a 14 footer off the glass. But it's not efficient. It's a stupid shot.
Yeah.
And Pearl and Oates are like, we're playing basketball the smart way, and we're going to give you hell during the game. You're going to have to defend every freaking second. And if we miss 10 threes in a row, we're going to take the 11th.
Yep. I was just thinking their endurance should be very good come tournament time,
yep.
Right?
Yep. In the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Let me give away the last set of tickets for the week, 364-1100. We got tickets to the MGM Rewards Slam. We got some of the best players in the world. In fact, they are the best players in the world. Sabalenka and Osaka are playing in the women's side on Saturday, March 1st. March 2nd, Sunday, Sinner, number one player in the world, is in with some of the other high-level dudes. AXS.com is where you can get your tickets. Back-to-back days of tennis at the MUA at Mick Ultra Arena. And we've got a pair right now. Caller 7-364-1100. So USA-Canada talk will extend into next week. But the heat going into the game was awesome. I love it. Canada took it totally seriously. Justin Trudeau apparently does not like being called Governor Trudeau. He was ready with the tweet, which I guess in a way for pride of the country you have to send out, but I thought that was like very much a gotcha moment. Like, we can be gotten sometimes on Twitter. Like, responding to DJT talking about the 51st
right.
state and you'll be the governor is like, it's such trolly humor. I kind of felt bad. But I guess if he hadn't responded in some way to basically say F off, people would have been mad.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to have to go find.
So what does this mean down the road? This year and for hockey in the future? What do you think?
I'm very curious to see what it means for the rest of the NHL season. I think Connor Hellebuck will be fired up. He's already on one of the best teams right now in the Winnipeg Jets, so we'll see if they can make an actual run. There were a bunch of players from the Jets on both teams, too. Jordan Binnington was so good. He, especially in overtime, I mean, Austin Matthews had a few really good looks that he made fantastic saves. The Tkachuk brothers are going to be ready to play. They were fired
hopefully.
Up for that first, hopefully. Yeah. Yep. I think that was a big turning point. No Matthew Tkachuk for the end there. And of course, Cal Makar, best defenseman in the league, got him back for that game. He was a big part of that, too. So it's great. I mean, I think USA and Canada both fantastic in hockey right now, and I can't wait for a year and a half to see it in the Olympics.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Do you have a favorite baseball team? Man, you handicappers, stone cold focused. What, could you give the Yankees more love now that they can grow beards? They have to be well-groomed beards.
Well-groomed.
I would. I don't groom this. I would actually not. I can't play baseball at that level, but I would not be on the Yankees because of this messy beard that I don't comb out or shave very much. It's a big deal in Yankee history, Alex.
A little part of me is a little sad that he gave in. Like, I'm like.
I hope the rank-and-file Yankee reliever, whoever it may be, like, test it. Grow out a big, bushy beard, guys.